how to respond to slander and lies. The Keeper of Knowledge stood on a small stage, looking warmly and lovingly at the audience. Today, many people gathered. Students, organizers, and assistants came from their cities to receive the teacher's answers and learn how to respond correctly to slander and lies about the school, which they encountered from time to time. There were people of different ages, genders, professions, and social statuses. They tuned in for a spiritual conversation with excitement, reliable trust, and sincere joy at the opportunity to connect with the energy of the Great One and gain sacred knowledge that would help them deal with negative processes. In the teacher's gaze, one could read calm confidence, wisdom, and inner power. He had already greeted the students and was waiting for their questions. There were many eager to ask, and hands went up all around the hall. The sage nodded in the direction of a tall, fair-haired woman in the front row. She was dressed in simple jeans and a light sweater, her straw-colored hair neatly tied back. Her concentrated face showed subtle signs of uncertainty and tension.
"Dear teacher, I want to share my story with you and ask what to do in this situation,"
she said cautiously, seeking the teacher's support. He nodded encouragingly, urging the woman to continue.
"In our group, a student found all sorts of dirt about the school on the internet, believed it all, and stopped attending classes. But I still continued to communicate with her. I wanted to reason with her, to bring her back to the classes. But she started telling me that everything in the school is not what it seems, that there are some exposés on the internet, some materials, and she suggested me to take a look at them, too. I became curious to know what was there."
The woman paused and guiltily lowered her gaze. The sage, awaiting Anna's continuation, observed her face attentively, proportional, with barely noticeable wrinkles, thin lips, and bright, piercing blue eyes that convey feelings of guilt, regret, and perplexity.
"Go on,"
the keeper gently said, pulling the woman out of her momentary daze. She blinked and, overcoming the negative emotions that had arisen, started speaking in a rush.
I felt like all that dirt wouldn't affect me, that I wouldn't succumb to its influence, but I went on the internet, looked at what they were writing about our school, and it made me feel really bad. Even physically, my head started to ache so intensely that it was unbearable. I couldn't even finish reading. And after that, I started to have doubts. I thought, maybe all this is true? Maybe I'm wrong to defend the school? I became confused and felt that I needed advice, some support. So I ended up showing all this information to another woman from our group. I wanted to know her opinion, but it turned out that now she doesn't want to attend classes either."
Despair flickered in the student's voice.
"Teacher, now I don't know what to do. It turns out I acted badly and started spreading these rumors further."
The Keeper of Knowledge listened to the woman's confused story without surprise, reproach, or any negativity. Only a barely perceptible sadness briefly flashed in his eyes. It seemed like he had heard similar stories many times before, both in ancient times and in the present, and knew they would happen again and again.
"Anna, your story is a vivid example of what can happen to a person if they succumb to negative influence,"
he responded calmly. He spoke as though a beloved child stood before him, who made a mistake but understood the guilt and desperately needed explanation, support, and help.
"What happened? You found lies and slander, started sharing them with each other, and this lie disconnected you from the supreme power. As a result, you ended up in this bad state. That's how the dark powers operate."
"So, it's actually the machinations of the dark powers?"
Anna asked, trembling, raising her eyes to the sage.
"The dark powers manifest through people. Their goal is to disconnect a person from the supreme power,"
the sage explained in detail.
"And how do they achieve that? The most reliable way is to plant slander and lies in their mind. Once these lies and slander take root in a person's mind, they start doubting the light powers and disconnect themselves from them. Then the dark powers fully take control and start manipulating them. The person falls into a dark state filled with negative emotions and bad thoughts. They enter a state of decline, stop growing and moving towards the light, and no longer want to improve themselves. And that shows that the dark powers have achieved their goal.
But how do we distinguish between the two?
Anna asked, attentively listening to the Keeper's response.
In our world, there's so much bad and so much evil. Different sects actually exist, and there are quite a few of them. How do we tell the difference between lies and truth?
There is one very clear and simple criterion,
the sage said, and a genuine smile touched his lips.
If we experience a feeling of reverence, have light thoughts, and elevated emotions, it means we are heading in the right direction. But if we no longer want anything and feel negative and darkened, it means we are moving away from God, from the light.
The students in the hall listened with utmost attention, not wanting to miss a word of the sage's explanations.
So every time we encounter questionable information, we should examine our emotions? Try to feel what's happening in our hearts?
Anna clarified. Her eyes were shining with sparks of realization that were happening right in the present moment.
Here and now. So, the answer is to be found inside yourself every time.
Yes, Anna, that's right.
The sage confirmed, looking warmly at the student.
But we must always remember that if our state becomes negative due to some information, we stop evolving and striving towards the supreme. This means the dark powers have influenced us, which is true evil. We should always consider whether we need to perceive and allow negative information to pass through us. Every time we encounter it, we should weigh it wisely and consciously. We must say to ourselves, "This is negative information. Why should I believe in it? Why should I immerse myself in the negative state this information carries?" We need to pray, ask God for guidance, and tune into the Supreme, the Light. When, for example, a person reads a spiritual book or listens to spiritual music, they experience an elevated state. This allows them to experience elevated emotions and connect with God, the Supreme Power.
Teacher, does that mean we should also be selective with the information we consume? For example, when choosing a partner?
Asked another student, a slender girl with copper red hair and adorable freckles on her light skin.
Absolutely,
the keeper replied decisively.
But people often don't realize this because we aren't taught to be selective with information. Society instills wrong attitudes and false programs in us. For example, blindly believing everything said on TV, broadcasted in the news, or written on the internet. People get used to believing everything indiscriminately. But would anyone eat spoiled food willingly?
The sage scanned the students, encouraging them to make an analogy. A light murmur ran through the rows, and the students nodded in agreement.
When it comes to food, how does a person choose? They look at its appearance, may smell and touch it, examine it from different angles.
The sage continued.
And if they determine the food is rotten, slimy, unpleasant, or moldy, they throw it away. But when it comes to information, people lack this discernment. If they are served good food, they consume it. If they are handed bad food, they still consume it.
The keeper gestured, stating a fact.
So, information can poison us just like rotten food?
A voice from the audience asked.
Exactly. We swallow information without discernment or digestion, and right away, we find ourselves in a bad state. And if that happens, it means this information came from the dark powers. It makes us worse, disconnects us from God, from the light. We swallow lies and slander, and find ourselves in a clouded state. Stop doing spiritual practices and attending classes. Then we exchange this information with others, and they pass it on further in a chain. instead of supporting each other's spiritual aspirations and spiritual fire and discussing how to develop and improve, rumors and gossip are spread. And by doing that, people cloud each other's minds.
Teacher, what would have been the right course of action in my case?
Anna asked, raising her hand again and catching the keeper's gaze.
Would it have been better to stop communicating altogether with the student who left the school? Or simply not watch those videos, not read, and not allow that stream of dirty information to pass through me?
Don't be afraid to encounter such information,
the sage confidently replied.
The dark powers will always try to poison us with their venom. Therefore, the key is to be selective. We should not mindlessly consume everything given to us. We need to think every time. Here is some information in front of me. Who created it? Where does it lead?
Teacher, who actually creates this information?
A low voice from the back row asked, belonging to a long-haired man with tanned skin and expressive brown eyes.
Someone must deliberately defame the school. What's their gain from it?
Alexander, slander is created by low, soulless people who themselves do not seek the light and God and fall under the influence of the dark powers. They are darkened individuals, manipulated by demons and devils. So we need to learn to discern and cut off lies and slander. We must always watch ourselves and see what feelings arise, so we can stop on time and tell ourselves, this is negative information. It's clear that the dark powers want to turn me away from the light, from growth, from God. Do I need this? No, I don't need it. And when we realize this, we immediately reject that information, not immersing ourselves in it. Instead, we should listen to divine hymns, spiritual music, meditate, and practice. Then we will be filled with divine light. We need to understand this and tune into elevated emotions.
And should we also help others tune in the same way?
Dasha asked eagerly.
If someone has already fallen under the influence of the dark powers and can't break free on their own, how can we help them?
Of course we should help.
The sage smiled warmly.
Instead of spreading gossip further, we should, on the contrary, suggest doing spiritual practices together, meditating, listening to spiritual music, or reading books and hearing what the teachers, Christ, Buddha, Osho, Gurdjieff, and other enlightened beings have to say. We need to support each other when the dark powers try to take over and turn us away from the light. And if a person has already fallen under the influence of the dark powers, in that case, we need to try to wake them up, pay attention to their emotional state, and notice the low emotions they experience, usually irritation, anger, resentment, and other negative feelings. Ask the person if they enjoy being in that negative state or if they want to continue growing, being happy, and receiving God's grace. Reflect on spiritual matters together. Pray together to attain elevated emotions and bring the person out of that negative state. This will help them see everything more clearly, understand the truth, and continue moving towards the light and God.
When the keeper finished speaking, several hands were raised again in the hall, and he gestured towards a middle-aged woman dressed in a formal trouser suit. The student stood up, adjusted the square frame of her glasses, and shook her long chestnut hair, which fell in large curls to her shoulders.
At the seminar, they told us a fable about a wizard and sheep,
she said with a melodious, well-articulated voice.
About how the sheep would scatter and resist when the wizard tried to catch them. They knew he would kill and eat them. So, to catch and slaughter one sheep, he had to chase it across meadows for a long time. That's when the wizard came up with a trick. To stop the sheep from running away, he hypnotized them. He convinced them that they were not sheep, but lionesses, she-wolves, or even humans, and therefore his best friends.
The sheep believed this, stopped resisting, and stopped being afraid. They joyfully went to their slaughter, thinking they were just going to have dinner with their wizard friend.
The woman paused, adjusted her glasses again, coughed dryly, and then continued.
So, honestly, it occurred to me at one point that the sheep from the fable might be us, the students in the school.
She averted her gaze, intently examining the back of the student sitting in front of her, afraid to meet the teacher's eyes, fearing disapproval, outrage, or judgment. But when she finally dared to look up, she found a mischievous smile playing on the sage's face.
"So I guess I'm that evil wizard who enchanted the sheep,"
he remarked ironically.
"Is that what you thought?"
Laughter rippled through the hall.
"Well,"
the student hesitated.
"To be honest, such thoughts did cross my mind. The wizard was very persuasive when he called all the sheep his friends."
"People should always be in a conscious state and realize if someone has enchanted them, observing their reactions,"
the sage replied, adopting a more serious tone as the playful wave of laughter subsided.
"As I mentioned earlier, the criterion here is simple. If negative emotions arise, then it's time to draw appropriate conclusions."
The student pushed back a disobedient lock of hair and nodded, showing she understood.
"Yes, master, I understand the criterion of truth,"
she spoke with respectful reverence.
"Now, I will know how to correctly use and filter information. But I have another question, if I may."
"Of course."
The sage nodded, sending her a wave of kind energy and support.
"Why don't you and other spiritual people refute this false information that spreads on the internet and television?"
Victoria asked, adjusting her glasses again with a familiar gesture.
"After all, there are laws against defamation, so you can take legal action against these people, restore your good name. Why do such disputes never happen?"
The Keeper of Knowledge looked at the student with a philosophical smile and shook his head.
"Because our task is to provide people with understanding,"
he gently reminded me.
"What's the point of engaging in those lawsuits? There are many dark influences, and they constantly try to harm, directly or indirectly. Propaganda is constant. Advertising, some scammers, and politicians all manipulate people's minds. This has taken various forms throughout history and will continue in the future. To protect people, we simply need to explain how to defend ourselves against this information. If we explain everything, if people gain understanding, they will cleanse themselves, and no dirt will stick to them. No lie will be able to affect them."
The students listened to the sage with the utmost attention and focus. And when he finished his explanation, hands were raised again in the hall with others eager to ask their questions.
"Teacher, after our classes and practices, I always experience very bright, positive emotions."
A dark-haired girl with a pleasant, round face spoke inspiringly.
"But I also heard one of our former students talk about the school, some not-so-pleasant things. We were almost friends, attended classes together, and then she started pouring out such filth. I was shocked. She portrayed you as an evil wizard who enchanted everyone. So she came in as a sensible person, and you supposedly hypnotized her. Almost made her drink infant's blood."
The girl chuckled ironically, emotionally gesturing with her hands.
"Can you imagine?"
She looked at the keeper, meeting his calm gaze, which sparkled with energy and some genuine youthful playfulness.
"In reality, it was quite the opposite. It wasn't me who enchanted and hypnotized her. She was already enchanted when she came to the school."
The sage spoke, and his lips formed an ironic, sad smile of someone who sees and knows things that are beyond the perception of an ordinary person.
"All of us were enchanted from birth, starting with parental and school upbringing. The educational system doesn't encourage the development of independent free thinking. School teachers never say, 'Try to understand, figure it out, let's reason on this topic, let's make logical deductions.' Instead, they force cramming, memorizing, even without understanding the meaning. Even in humanities subjects, they never give a chance to express one's own opinion which may differ from what's prescribed in the textbooks. The main thing is to memorize the material and then reproduce it. This deprives people of their ability to think. Therefore, we must constantly give children the opportunity to reason, find non-standard answers to questions, and find unconventional solutions. Then their thinking will be activated. Their brains will develop. For toddlers and preschoolers, different riddles work well. And as the child grows a bit older, they can be presented with resolving real-life situations. You should ask them, "How would you handle this complex situation? What would you do?" The child would then learn to think logically, seek solutions, and try to understand. If individuals were given such tasks consistently from early childhood, they would grow up to be very intelligent. But the dark powers don't want people to be smart.
When the sage paused, a student from the front rows, wearing a long dress of noble green color, raised her hand.
"Teacher, some politicians and people in power even openly say such things,"
she pointed out.
"For example, there's a well-known quote by Stalin, 'A thinking person is dangerous.' So they sent all the thinking people to labor camps to prevent them from interfering with the dark power's plan of turning others into those trusting sheep from the fable about the wizard."
Yes, it is indeed difficult for the dark powers to control thinking individuals who can draw logical conclusions, contemplate, express their opinions, and rely on their own experiences.
The keeper confirmed.
That's why they make us memorize from an early age, so that people rely solely on memory and not on thinking, because then they only reproduce the lessons they've memorized, nothing more. Along with these lessons, they are fed various propaganda on television and the internet, telling them how a person should be and what they should do.
A lanky young man with short, spiky hair raised his hand and spoke up.
"So, when a person faces a situation, what comes to their mind is just what was ingrained by their parents, educators, and societal propaganda, right? They don't think, they just remember what they were told about how to behave in that situation."
Exactly. A person simply recalls what they were once told instead of logical reasoning. "Maybe what someone told me is wrong. Maybe I don't need other people's opinions. Why were they told to react in this way? Maybe they should react differently." But we lack that kind of thinking. People only remember the zombie program they were given.
The sage replied.
"And what is this zombie program?"
came a question from the audience.
"Are there predefined templates from which the appropriate one is automatically selected?"
"Yes. Templates for each false identity, viral programs for each of our roles. So when a situation arises, a person recalls the memorized information. How was I told to react? Oh, like this." Mechanically, they remember and act. But what can they recall?
The sage threw the question back to the hall, scanning the students with an attentive gaze, allowing them a moment to contemplate.
"But since a person hasn't interacted with great teachers, they can't recall anything other than the behavior programs instilled by ignorant people,"
Victoria supposed.
"Exactly,"
confirmed the keeper.
"Because they don't have the proper information to recall and rely on to find the answer. So they remember what was said in propaganda, on television, in soap operas, and tabloid novels, where they teach people how to suffer, get offended, create scandals with dish breaking, get angry, and get irritated."
After the keeper finished speaking, a few seconds of invisible positive energy hung in the silence of the hall. The students listened to their inner selves for a while, reflecting on the words of the master. Then Anna, the blonde woman who asked the first question, raised her hand again.
"Great, teacher, I have another question,"
she began.
"Why did this happen? When I decided to watch this compromising information about the school, I thought it wouldn't affect me. I was convinced that I had immunity, but it seems it affected me anyway. But I had the thought in my mind, I understand everything.
Anna, it's the same as thinking, if I know that the food is poisoned, the poison won't affect me.
The sage commented with a gentle smile.
But in reality, it doesn't work that way. If we eat poisoned food without taking any antidote in advance, we'll feel sick.
He paused, walking thoughtfully to the window and then back to the center of the stage.
A person may think they understand everything,
he continued,
but it might not be the case. That's why it's essential to pray, to ask God for enlightenment, to tune in, to separate the truth from the lie.
So, first, do we need to take an antidote?
The student clarified.
In other words, enter a state closer to God?
Yes, exactly.
Nodded the sage.
And then, while studying information, you need to analyze it immediately, contemplate, and ask yourself questions like, who is the source of this information? Someone had to make it up, shoot some fake interviews, and write the text. Someone deliberately did all this. Was this person a spiritual individual? What was their purpose? To stop our spiritual development? To stop believing in the light? In the supreme? Did this person achieve any spiritual level themselves? Who is this person?
So, the false information affected me because I lacked the right mindset and perception?
Anna asked again.
Exactly.
Confirmed the keeper of knowledge, accompanying his words with a gesture of agreement.
Without the proper mindset, a person receives information and immediately believes it, immersing themselves in it. They don't see how it affects them and lose their awareness.
Teacher, perhaps there are special words to tune oneself better and preserve the ability to distinguish between falsehood and truth.
Alexander asked, posing a new question.
You can say to yourself, I will maintain an elevated state, and if something disturbs it, then I will understand that the dark powers might influence me.
The sage advised.
And if the bad state does arise?
Dasha asked.
Is there any express method to get out of it?
You can ask yourself, which image from this information had such an effect on me? Why do these images even affect me? If a person reasoned this way, trying to observe all these processes within themselves, then nothing could poison them. However, they find themselves in an unconscious state. Once they receive information, they immediately become absorbed in it. It instantly starts affecting them, and the person doesn't even understand which processes are happening inside them or what strings are being pulled. If they delve into this, then everything becomes clearer. What kind of information it is, who creates it, and for what purpose. But usually a person doesn't see all of this because they remain in a blind, asleep state. In this condition, any demon can easily manipulate them.
Teacher, why does it happen that our good intentions to help and bring someone back end up with us going down as well?
Dasha asked with genuine confusion.
When we communicate with students who strayed from the spiritual path, we want to bring them back, support them. We believe that we're doing a good deed, but in the end, it turns out that those who left pull us down too.
So it turns out that this happens because a person is in a weaker state than the one overshadowed by the dark powers. To help others, you need to be in a strong state yourself. Then we can say, let's read sacred scriptures together instead of this falsehood and slander. Right now, we will study the enlightened teachings and read at least Osho, Castaneda, and other teachers. Let's talk about spiritual matters rather than what the ill-wishers influenced by the dark powers write. That would be salvation. But instead of taking such an active position based on principles, a person starts allowing poisoned information to pass through them. and as a result, a person with a clouded state starts dictating to someone in an elevated state what they should read and discuss. If we want to save someone, we must offer them the topics of discussion and the sacred scriptures to study.
So, does it mean that I wanted to save someone but was in a more passive position? And the departed disciple was in a more active position, which is why I fell under her influence.
Anna asked a question, engaging in conversation with the sage once again. As she spoke, there were no longer notes of tension and confusion in her voice. Now the woman felt more confident, with an inner calm and determination, based on understanding. The conversation with the keeper had returned her inner strength and provided the necessary support.
Yes, it appears that the overshadowed person took a more active position and became a conductor of the dark powers,
explained the teacher.
If you are in a passive state, who can you save? If you lack a clear active position based on principles, anyone can hypnotize you, like that wizard hypnotized his sheep. If we don't have a strong position, we won't be able to help anyone. So a person in a more active position imposes lies and slander on someone in a passive state. The person in a passive position becomes a victim of this influence.
Teacher, but it often happens that those spreading slander consider themselves saviors, don't they?
Alexander remarked.
They don't see themselves as conductors of the dark powers. And it's difficult for a person to understand, especially if it's your friend, someone you've known for a long time. What should one do in such a situation?
People who spread slander don't engage in spiritual practices,
the keeper said. Walking across the stage again, he stopped and looked directly at the disciple.
They themselves are not in love or grace. They dwell in negative emotions they want to transfer to others.
But how do you properly tell someone, especially if it's your friend? How do you make them understand and wake up from the hypnotic influence?
The teacher thought for a moment, carefully choosing his words, and then responded.
You can say it like this. What are you saving me from? Are you trying to save me from God, from the spiritual path? By passing on your negativity, after talking to you, I feel worse, which means you cannot save me. Let's talk about love, compassion, and mercy instead. Why don't you discuss those things? You only speak of the negative. You only condemn, and negative emotions overwhelm you. And that's why I won't listen to you. If we spoke about love throughout the world, about love for our neighbors. But you don't talk about that because you're not interested in it. You carry a negative wave, but I don't need it because I don't want to absorb your clouded state. That's how you should talk to your friend who turned away from the light.
When the teacher finished, several hands in the hall went up, wanting to ask questions. The sage gave the floor to a fully gray-haired but still vibrant woman with a radiant complexion and noticeable wrinkles at the corners of her eyes.
Keeper, what determines whether negative information affects one person while another person becomes stronger in faith because of it?
She asked, looking at the teacher with respect.
Nina, it depends on the state of the person.
The sage replied without hesitation and, after a brief pause, began to explain.
If negative information affects someone, it means they were in a weak state, not deeply connected to God, the spiritual path, or personal growth. So when some influence comes, it easily knocks them off balance. If a person is in a strong state, deeply involved in spirituality and development, and do spiritual practices, they would not even perceive the same influence. When a person is weak and without purpose, they are compliant. You push them in one direction, and like a little toy, they fall that way. Give them another push, and they fly the other way. Such a person lacks inner strength, making it easy to influence them. But if we know where we are going, why we are developing, and what we want to achieve with God, then nothing can influence us.
Great teacher, what if a person is surrounded from all sides by their environment? They try to divert them from the spiritual path. What should one do in such a situation?
Nina asked, maintaining her attentive gaze on the sage. The keeper smiled briefly and responded,
I am very familiar with this,
he said, and looking around at the hushed disciples, he began to tell his story.
When I was young and started pursuing spirituality at the age of 7, everyone opposed me. At that time, atheism prevailed in the country, and everyone was devoid of spirituality. But I said to my mother, Mom, I will go to God. And then all my relatives and those around me fell down upon me, saying, What God? There is no God. Cosmonauts flew into space and didn't see any God there, so he doesn't exist. Don't waste your time on this nonsense. And then they vehemently tried to persuade me, Stop it! We are atheists. We are heading towards communism. Faith in God is all outdated. But no matter how much they told me, I remained steadfast. I knew that this was the truth and that I would follow this path. And here's the thing. Someone says something, and suddenly a person loses their way and starts going in the opposite direction. That means they didn't have a core belief. For me, at the age of 7, this inner core belief was already formed, and I understood. This is mine, and I will pursue it. No matter what others tell me, no matter how they try to hinder me, I will continue to grow. That was my state of mind back then. If a person lacks understanding and a core belief, they can be tossed like a ball in whichever direction they are pushed. We should not be in such a state. If we have understanding, if we have a core belief and know where we are going and why, we can achieve anything.
After listening to the Keeper of Knowledge, Nina nodded appreciatively.
Thank you for the story and explanation, Sage.
She respectfully lowered her head and then looked up again after a few seconds.
How should we prepare new disciples for this understanding? Is it right to explain more about the dark powers, lies, and slander that periodically appear about the school? Eventually, they will encounter these challenges. Should we prepare them in advance through explanations?
Certainly, we should,
affirmed the sage.
They might not even know that there is information that can poison them. After all, they say that words can hurt more than weapons. There is information that can poison and infect them with something negative, and new disciples often don't realize this. What I just shared with you is knowledge that needs to be conveyed to all new disciples so they become discerning and no longer consume any dirty information, not allowing it into their souls. If we warn and prepare them in advance, instilling selectiveness in their information consumption, people will be in the right state, and it will be impossible to deceive them.
Finishing his response, the keeper pointed to a middle-aged man in a light white shirt, giving him a word. The man stood up, adjusted his neat beard, and spoke with a confident and calm voice.
Great one. It seems to me that many new disciples don't understand what they can achieve in the school, what results they can attain. Should we explain to them what awaits them, show them the possibilities, tell them that they can approach spirituality and attain a true understanding of the spiritual path? Or should they discover these things gradually?
Certainly, Constantine, we should explain,
the teacher replied unequivocally,
but at the level that the individual can comprehend. The simplest way to put it is like this. A person wants to be happy, but does everything to become unhappy. Why does this happen? Because they spend their whole life among unhappy people who dwell in negative states and emotions. And what can they teach him? Only one thing. To be unhappy, just like them. To experience the same negative emotions. Irritation, anger, aggression, and resentment. If a person were among happy individuals who constantly maintain elevated states, then he would become the same. But of course, that doesn't usually happen. However, everything can be changed. Any person can become happy. To do this, they need to let go of everything that makes them unhappy and start cultivating elevated emotions through spiritual practices.
That's surprisingly simple, yet very clear.
The disciple exclaimed emotionally, inspired by the master's explanation.
So, we should guide people towards the understanding that they don't need to wait for some external push, but rather they should take action themselves and put themselves into the right state.
Exactly,
confirmed the sage.
For example, let's take the simplest exercise, laughter meditation. If a person starts laughing, they will immediately feel joy. Yet they wait for someone to come and make them laugh. Sitting in a passive state and waiting can go on for years, and nothing will happen, especially if everyone around them is in a suppressed and negative state. Therefore, we need to guide people towards awakening positive emotions within themselves. If they do the laughter meditation and experience joy, they can then share it with others. This is the understanding that disciples should have. If they continue to dwell in negative emotions, nothing good will happen, and there will be no progress.
Teacher, would it be appropriate to give an example of young children here?
The disciple asked.
For instance, a small child is joyful and happy. But as they grow up and spend a long time among gloomy adults, they too eventually become gloomy and forget how to laugh, how to find joy in simple things, and enjoy nature, fresh air, the sky, and the sun, the forest.
Yes, that's a good example,
replied the keeper and warmly smiled.
Indeed, in childhood, the child did all these things, was joyful and happy. But as time went on, the person became increasingly unhappy because they lived among equally unhappy people who imposed false identities on them, implanted programs that they must obey without understanding why and for what purpose. However, when the person started doing laughter meditation, began to rejoice and have fun, they felt good again. They realized that they didn't need to wait for something good to come from outside. For example, to experience happiness, they don't need to wait to win $1 million in the lottery, which may never happen. All the positive is inside the person, and at any moment in their life, they can let go of the negativity and start laughing, becoming joyful, and moving towards the light. We need to explain it to everyone. Everything is in our hands. No matter how complex life may seem, no matter how heavy it presses on us, we can always create a state of happiness for ourselves. The key is to let go of the painful past and the burdensome present and start doing spiritual practices. Then we will feel good, light, and be able to move forward, knowing ourselves, heading towards God, and helping others do the same.
When the sage finished, a graceful hand with many leather bracelets on the wrist rose in the hall, and after a nod of approval from the master, a woman of moderate height stood up. There was nothing extraordinary about her appearance, yet her entire appearance caught and captivated one's gaze. One wanted to observe her, notice certain details, admire her spiritually awakened face, straight posture, and the softness and femininity in her movements.
Teacher, I want to thank you for helping us,
she said with a confident, pure, and resonant voice.
Thank you for guiding us out of such a state, for allowing us to awaken, see ourselves as we truly are, and realize that we are indeed following programmed patterns.
The disciple looked at the sage with sincere gratitude, blinking with emotion. It was evident that every word she spoke resonated in her soul with bright and pure emotions.
In just 5 minutes, you told us so much more than what we couldn't learn in 5 years of university education.
She continued.
In university, no one even attempted to explain what life really is. They taught us formulas, equations, and many other complex things. Physics, chemistry, integrals. But it was all so distant from real life, from what we truly need to know and understand.
The woman's speech was so inspiring and genuine that applause erupted in the hall. Many disciples wholeheartedly shared their gratitude and joined in. The sage was moved. He looked at the disciples with a radiant smile. And when the applause subsided, he took a few steps forward.
I am very glad that all of you are walking this path with me, that you have chosen the path to the light and God,
he said.
I am trying to open your eyes, to explain how life works, how humans are structured, and what is happening. I want to lead as many people as possible out of the mass hypnosis that society imposes. To break free from this state, we must learn to deeply understand everything and strive to comprehend every situation and think logically rather than simply allowing any information to pass through us from the internet, television, mass media, and tabloids. We must always distinguish. Here is low-quality information, newspaper hype, tabloids, and here are the sacred scriptures. So what should I read? Instead, people share information from tabloids and immerse themselves in that juice. And then they feel unwell. Therefore, we must be very discerning. We must always maintain selectiveness and understand what we read, how it affects us, and what processes are taking place at that moment. We must monitor all of this, and then no one will be able to deceive us.
This time, applauses flooded the hall like a powerful wave. The disciples felt an upsurge of elevated emotions and immediately expressed them, thanking the keeper for his clarifications and sincere answers to challenging questions. An invisible cloud of pure, radiant energy filled the hall, clearing the minds and helping them sense the field of divine love. Seeing this, the sage smiled and began reciting lines from a spiritual poem.
Words are in vain. You only bring so much pain and voluptuousness and shame. But in essence, you are infamy. Those who know attention pay to you, spread the right message, since the action, all the way through, has nothing for them to presage. He is wise who, having mastered speech, skillfully does the good not bound by verbal screech. He will not fall into sinhood. In the world, you lie immensely to oneself, to others, and from that, all your phrases are insincere intensely, and their meaning is to regret. But I'll tell you a word in your ear. All these lies are born of fear, but it would be easier this truth to repeat by skillfully teaching it. Only to the frank is revelation granted by the King of Heaven. They are instructed by the author of creation, and miracles happen through his leaven. The student is the one who is able to truthfully perceive the vigil of life. The master is the one who's stable at teaching revelation's strife.
The keeper of knowledge invited the spiritually awakened state of the disciples to be strengthened through spiritual practice. Today, it was a prayer for the ones who have strayed.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.